Joe for why you should know through that.
We can invite Kirsch, Rabbi.
Yeah, yeah, that the joke was aimed to him. Okay. There was one last akuda I wanted to finish off in the last sugya, because it does touch on a whole bunch of things that we've been talking about in the past, and hopefully that's to try to move on a little bit to the next sugya today. The klal gadol that, of course, emanated from our sugya, from multiple sugyas in Shas, is that when Maman precedes Misa, so then the whole game is over, Kimli Ramineh is over. Actually, one of the Gemaras that we haven't spoken all that much about since a couple of days ago, which also bore out this idea, clearly expresses this notion, is the Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Ayin Amud Beis. Because remember, the Gemara quoted this mysterious braisa about Gonav u'Mochar b'Shabbos being Potter, because it's covered by Kibbutz Ramineh. So the Gemara was scratching its head and trying to figure out, why should that be so? Like, since when is Mechir on Shabbos and Issa Deraisa and Issa Skila that would warrant applying the principle of Kibbutz Ramineh? So the Gemara had to do somersaults to try to find the case. So one of the somersaults the Gemara came up with was Roka Nevasecha L'Chatzeri. We spoke a little bit about this earlier in the week. So the Gemara stopped and said, wait a second, Roka Nevasecha L'Chatzeri, why is that considered to be Kibbutz Ramineh? The order is reversed. Because here the Chiyuv Momen kicks in before the Chiyuv Misa. Why is that? Because according to the view of the Rabbanan, that you don't become Chayav Misa until a Mamash lands on the ground. We don't say Klut to Kamishon Chadamya. It's not considered to be as if it's already had a Hanocha when it's in motion. According to the Rabbanan, so in motion is in motion. It's Mamash moving. So then the order is reversed. Because the Chiyuv Momen kicks in once the Kinyan is Chal. Once the Mechira takes effect, and the Mechira takes effect once it's nichnas into the Chotzer, even into the airspace of the Chotzer, and Skila doesn't happen until it hits the rock bottom, until it lands on the floor. So Gemara stopped and said, wait a second, that's a problem. That's called Mamon preceding Misa. So Gemara says, Yitaka, right. Either the Braisa is following Rabbi Akiva, who says, Tut Kishur Chadamya, or even according to Rabbanon, Ba'im Elisha, that they made a specific condition that the Mechira shouldn't take effect until it actually hits rock bottom. So therefore, it will, in effect, be Kimli Rabbinei Bevasa Achas. So come to Rishonim and pick up on that question of the Gemara, that which the Gemara assumed, that unless you pull Rabbi Akiva into the picture, or unless you change what the Tanai was, so the Chi of Mammon proceeded. So come to Rishonim and say, wait a second, why is that called a violation of the Chi of Mammon proceeding? Why don't we pull out of our hats what Rabbi said? What famous cloud, the three magic words of yesterday, Shiur? Akiva Tzarech Hanocha. The same way that Zeri Chetz, it's covered by Kimli Ramineh, even though we all know that the Chi of Mammon really truly preceded the Chi of Misa, because the shirt was ripped before the arrow landed after Da'al Amos. The Afa Pichain, Chazal are willing to ignore that. That was Rabbi Abin's breakthrough of Akira Tzarech Hanocha. So why don't we plug in that same cloud of Akira Tzarech Hanocha and say, so to over here, when I throw the geneva, I'm tossing that geneva, whether I'm throwing it over the fence or through the window, depending on that other issue of Tizis, but I'm tossing that geneva. So why don't we say that the Shas Chi of Misa began at the moment of the Akira, in a sense, at the moment that I'm accurate from the Rosh Hashanah, in throwing it into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So that's already the beginning of this man. Any Chi of Mammon that's entailed during the course of that travel should be covered by Kibbutz Ramineh. And even though it's true that the real Gemar Dover, the real Chi of Misa doesn't kick in, I'm not really Chayav Skila until the Hanocha, and the Hanocha is already too late, because you don't say Klut Kibbutz Ramineh, so the Hanocha is only when it hits the bottom, but that whole window should be covered by Akira Tzarech Hanocha. What is the difference between Zarek Chetz Da'an Amos to the case of Zarek as a Behema into the Chotzer of the Lekech? That's the kasha that Tosfos already poses. And Tosfos says, the answer to that question is, what is the difference? Says Tosfos, there's absolutely no difference. Not Kihuz, they have a difference. And why does the Gemara ignore Rabbi Abin? Zeman Fendor says, Tosfos, that there are other Amorim who ignore Rabbi Abin. Not everybody accepts Rabbi Abba. Not everybody accepts Akira Tzarech Hanocha. And it must be that this Stam Sugi in Rabbi Kamed Afayin is one of those Amorim speaking who Taka denies Rabbi Abba. But if you live in the world of Rabbi Abba, then Inoch and Ami Sestasis, the case is around Tentakul. So it's Yadu on the name of Rabbi Chaim. This Rabbi Chaim appears in the stencils and the Chiddush Rabbi Chaim al-Shas. Rabbi Chaim was Medayik from the Rambam that this is not the case. That the Rambam does in effect quote this Gemara, or at least paraphrases this Gemara, even though the Rambam does pass like Rabbi Abin, everyone passes like Rabbi Abin. Says Rabbi Chaim, there has to be another answer to this question. Tosfos Mahalach to say that this Sugya Shloka Lach just toss it out the window is clearly not the only Mahalach in Rishonim. So what is the answer, says Rabbi Chaim? So Rabbi Chaim explains the following Hagdara, that there is a fundamental difference between the din of Havoras Da'at Amos B'Shus Rabim and the din of Hotzah or Hachnosah to go from Rishus Hayoch to Shus Rabim, Shus Rabim to Shus Hayochid, even though they are both of those scenarios, all those scenarios are examples of carrying on Shabbos, and the Chayav Skila for all of them, but they are different in nature in the following sense, and it's that difference in nature that's going to result in this tremendous distinction where the Kibbutz Ramine is applicable, where the Kibbutz Hanachah can kick in. So if you remember yesterday when we introduced Rabbi Abin's din of Akira Tzarech Hanocha, we used the phrase of a window. We said that this time frame, this window of opportunity, from the Akira to the Hanocha, that whole window is considered to be the Shaschi of Misa. Does state Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Since the Akira is necessary for the Hanocha, so it's one long, 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 long Maisa of Chiyuv Skila. And any chiyuv moment, such as the kriyas shirayim that takes place in the middle, is going to be covered by kibbutz rabbine. So says Reb Chaim, what makes that window so large? What makes that entire picture, that entire traveling of that chetz part of the shas chiyuv? Why don't we just say the shas chiyuv is the akira and the hanocha? Why are we giving such credence, why are we giving such significance to the entire travel of that arrow? Says Reb Chaim, the answer is because the traveling the arrow, the shear of Halachas Da'at Amos, that is goof of the Aveira. That is part and parcel of the Issa. The name of the game is Havaras Da'at Amos B'Shus Rabim. So anything and everything that's happening during the moments of travel is significant. Because in order to be Chayef Havaras Da'at Amos B'Shus Rabim, it is not enough simply to do an akira and to do a hanocha. That would be chosa, that would be lacking. It's absolutely necessary for there to be a havaras da'at amos. Therefore, everything that's taking place in the process of that da'at amos is part of the gufa aveir, it's part of the gufa chiyav, and therefore it can cover all chiyav mamon that are taking place during that period of time are all covered by the rule of kibbutz rabbinei. It's only because of Havaras Da'at Amos, the Havar itself, the traveling itself, is such an integral part of the Aveira that we can say such a Svara. When it comes to a Hachnosah L'Rishus Hayochid, the person who's tossing an animal from the middle of the street into the Chatzar of the Lekeach, let's pinpoint which moments of time are part of the Aveira itself. So the Hanoch is obviously critical. And Rabbi Abin would agree that the Akira is critical, because Akira is Taka Tzarech Hanocha, that you need the Akira, because you don't have the Akira, then you're not going to have a Hanocha. But you know what's not so critical, says Reb Chaim? You know which parts are not all that significant, Rabbi Say? Which points are not all significant? The traveling is not all that significant. You know why? Because there's no shear to that travel. If I throw something from Rishus Hayochid into Rishus Rama, vice versa, it doesn't matter whether the two are a half an inch apart or they're 100 miles apart. The name of the game of Chotzah and Hachnosah, going from Rishus Hayochid to Rishus Rama, vice versa, is going from one Rishus and landing in another Rishus. The interim period, that airspace, that journey of the Cheftza is completely irrelevant because there are no halachas that govern the journey of that Cheftza. Therefore, anything that happens during the journey is not a Akira Tzarech Hanocha. The Akira is a Akira Tzarech Hanocha, but the journey is not a Akira Tzarech Hanocha. So the only time we can extend the Akira Tzarech Hanocha to mean that the entire journey is covered by the Chiyuv Misa to exempt Chiyuv Emamah that are occurring at the same time only makes sense when you're dealing with Havaras Da'at Amos, because there's a Shir of Da'at Amos, and you need Guf for the Havaras Da'at Amos in order to be the Guf Aveira. That's the vort, that's the breakthrough for Reb Chaim. And therefore, the reason why the Gemara completely ignored Rabbi Abin, not like Tosfos said, because Rabbi Abin is not right, or Rabbi Abin is not accepted, No, because Rabbi Avin is not relevant out of the realm of he only set his din by Zorah Chetz because Shirayim Bali Chasim Bevar Zalad Amas. Rabbi Avin never would have said Zorah Chetz Mishasayachet Mishasayachet vice versa because Shirayim Bali Chasim. Rabbi Avin never would have said such a thing. At Kantiv Reb Chaim. Famous word for Reb Chaim.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So you're going to ask me for the Balamor, right?
Well, I was just going to ask, is this Rashad with Pachos Pachos with Dalad Amas? Meaning, is that why Pachos Pachos is not a problem of Chatzis Shir? Because it's all one.
Oh, okay. It means it's a chatishir and echos you want to argue. It's not a chatishir and kamos. Okay, maybe. I thought you could hack with the Balamor.
Alright.
So I'll hack myself with the Balamor. So for many, many years, I always thought that this Reb Chaim is a very, very difficult Reb Chaim. I never made peace with this piece in Reb Chaim. I'll tell you why. Because there is a Gemara in the beginning of the 11th parak of Masechet Shabbos that's just been bothering me for many, many years. The Gemara says at the beginning of parak HaZorek, the Gemara says, Kasha, how do you know that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? Vishtei, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So just derech agav, that Kasha is a very strange Kasha. Why is that Kasha, strange Kasha? Because the Gemara never says, Vishtei, you're not allowed to be Kaisiv in Shabbos, and Vishtei, you're not allowed to be Kaitzer in Shabbos, and Vishtei, you're not allowed to be Machlan Patas in Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't have to ask that Kasha, because the Gemara already points out many times in Masechet Shabbos that the Malachas are derived from Mishkan, and any Malacha that was done in the Mishkan is by definition also. When the Torah says, Asasaka Malacha, Malacha by definition means, if you look up in Halachapedia, so Malacha means Malachas are Mishkan. So as long as I know historically that a particular action was done in the Mishkan, so then I don't have to bother with the Akasha in any meaning. So the reason why this Gemara is so strange in the beginning of Perek HaZorek is because we know that they carried in the Mishkan. We already know that from the fourth Perek of Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Hey, mehelu krasha mina ritzpah la golos," and back and forth. The Gemara tells the Mefarish that part of the process of transporting the items for the Mishkan was to put things on the agolos, off the agolos, on the agolos, off the agolos. The agolos were Rosh Hashayachid. The Gemara makes a simple cheshbon. They were Rosh Hashayachid. The digla midbar, the area between the agolos and the sides of the agolos, was all Rosh Hashayachid. The Gemara makes a cheshbon for that also. So by definition, when the Levium piled up the wagons and they unpiled the wagons, so they were violating Hatzah. So I already know that was part of the construction. The transporting was part of that Kamasa Mishkan. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me that? Why does the Gemara even bother to waste that time to ask the kasha? How did I not allow to carry on Shabbos? So that's a very, very good kasha. So what's the answer to that kasha? What's the famous answer? Two words to that kasha. Lacha grua. Good. We're hearing it. Eshi Yeshtapov, Eshi Nenopai, from all sides, from the Zooms to live. We're hearing the same words. That's Malacha grua. Taisa says that Hotzah is such a funny malacha, such a weak, such a low-level malacha, that the fact that it appeared in the Mishkan, that in of itself is not enough to be mechayev me on Shabbos. What's so grew about it? So many of the Shem explain, because it's one of the malachas that it doesn't change the heftza. When I write on a blank piece of paper, now I have letters on the paper. When I cook a raw chicken, now I have an edible piece of chicken. When I plant my field, now I have something growing. When I carry my sefer outside, I have the same sefer. There was no change in the heftza. So when you have no change in the heftza, that's what's called a malacha grua. So therefore, the starting point would be just because it was in the Mishkan, that in and of itself is not enough to be mechayev on Shabbos. So the Gemara needs a pasuk. So the Gemara goes searching and fishing, menah and emilah, they're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk. What's the pasuk? It's the beginning of Pashat Vayachal. It says, "Vayaviyu kol malachim leimor ish ish ayas od malachal haviyasa." Moshe Rabbeinu is screaming, "Don't bring any more! Don't do any more! We don't want any more! No more money! That's it!" It's the first time ever, first and last time ever in the history of appeals that the gabbayim for the appeal announced, "Please don't give any more. We have more than enough for hayser." So I guess because of that, we've had a klal. All meisters have had a klal for deri deris that they never be able to reach that point. So the bottom line is, yeah. Yes, that's the other one. Yeah, okay, good. Maybe that's the other one.
I'm saying, according to him, why is there no pasuk for Ma'amer then? Why is there no...
I don't know. I got to think about that one. I don't know. Maybe the Mekesh is just the pasuk.
Okay.
One day in the Gemara. Okay, not for now. So, okay, love Asher. All right, Asher, we love you here, okay? Even in absentia. Even in absentia, we like you. Okay. All right, anyway, back to our story. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, what's the pasuk? So the Gemara brings the pasuk. The Gemara says the pasuk. So then the Gemara says, what's the pasuk if Avar is not allowed to have a special rabbi? How do you know you're not allowed to carry down a special rabbi? So the Gemara Gemara runs out of pesukim for that one. The Gemara says there is no pasuk. So how do you know it? Hilchos the Gemira law. We have a tradition as Azoi state. That's the way it is. So the machlek is Rashi in the Rambam. Whenever the Gemara says Hilchos the Gemira law, does that automatically mean halacha moshe m'sinai? Here it seems to mean halacha m'sinai according to everybody. Even the Rambam seems to say it was halacha moshe m'sinai. So it's halacha moshe m'sinai. Kachaze. That's the way it is. You're not allowed to carry that avishes ram. Finish. End of discussion. So there's a very, very famous Balamor on the sugi with the Balamor. Explains that this halacha lemoshe misina hilchos gemira lo yinala to carry down amos does not mean that there was a in a sense a 40th malacha. Does not mean that this is a new category, a new issa, not related to any other malacha under the sun. No, says the Balamor, hilchos gemira meant that the 39th malacha was carrying, and the definition of carrying means carrying mishus l'rishus. Now mishus l'rishus means from mishus ayochet to mishus ram and vice versa. But this is an extension of that model, namely that the Torah is mechadish to us, the halacha is mechadish to us, that da'al amas shel adam zeh rishusoy, that whenever I carry something out of my da'al amas, that's tantamount to carrying to another rishus. Now again, it's not a real another rishus, it's not rishus, there are no mechitzas here, no rishus echadrachim, but da'al amas shel adam zeh rishusoy, my da'al amas are considered to be my unique area, my space, and if I take something out of my own da'al amas, I'm taking it out of my space, I'm in effect the halacha equivalent of carrying mir shus l'rishus. So when the Torah is mechadish to us, and Avar Zal Hamas is also in Shabbos, the Torah is not being mechadish to us as a brand new din. The Torah is being mechadish to us that this is part of the 39th melacha. This is a new dimension, a new type of hotzah mir shus l'rishus, but it's still fundamentally covered by mir shus l'rishus. What are we marviach by that hagdara? What's so great about that hagdara? So that explains away, how can you give a person misa for Havar Zal Hamas Shus Ram? We have a general rule that you can't give misa for something which is just pure halacha moshe m'sinai, because you have to give misa for something where there's an azhara in the Tosh B'Ksav. It has to say it in the Tosh B'Ksav, lo sasa, lo socha, lo something. The Torah has to give a loshen lo in order to give a person misa, or even to give a person malchus. So when something is just pure Tosh B'Peh, so we're not minimizing the din. We're not advocating that we don't have to follow the Torah Sheba Peh. But nevertheless, when things are only nimsal on a Torah Sheba Peh, so the Gemara seems to say, Maseches Bechayra, so that's not called an Azhara. You can't be manish a person, either in Einish Misa or some Einish Malkus, on something which is just pure Ish Pesha and Mesh Rabbeinu, because it's nimsal on that it's Osar, but it's not nimsal on the Lashon of Loi. And the Lashon of Lo, which is something which is reserved for Tosh B'Ksav, so if that doesn't exist, then you can't give a person an Einish. So Im Kain, there's a problem. How can you give a person an Einish for carrying down Amos B'Shus Rabbim? So I can give a person an Einish for cooking on Shabbos, because it says Lo Sasika Malacha, and we know what Malacha means. Malacha means Malacha Zemishka. I can give a person an Einish Mises Bezin for writing on Shabbos, for being Bain on Shabbos, for being Ma'amir on Shabbos. All those things I got, because those are losasika malacha. Okay, leave out the Maracha Zuru Asha. I can give a person a Misa because he's violating a Loi. Loi Min Alf, Lamed Alf, Loi Sasika Malacha. So that's the Azara, because these are all called Malachas. These are Malachas of Mishkan. But if you're telling me that it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, in the Torah Shebichsav, that you're not allowed to carry down Amos Shus Rabim. It's Nish Malachas HaMishkan because it's Malach HaGruah. It's Nish Poskin Chumash because the Torah doesn't say it. So Taka Hadu Kush L'Duchta. So Taka, what's the Mohar? So how do you V-state in the Torah Kadesh? Loi Sasa, Lo Safa, Da'al Amos. So I'm not advocating carrying on Shabbos Da'al Amos Shus Rabim, but I want to know how I can give a person an Nish Mish Bezdin. So the Balamor and the Chedesh Yeran and the Rabbim sounds this way also, all seem to say that the answer is because this is not a halacha moshe m'sinai just stam in the velterine, stam in a vacuum, a brand new halacha out of the context of anything, which would limit it and you wouldn't be able to be ma'anish. But rather, this halacha moshe m'sinai is just simply telling me that it's part of a pre-existing din, the pre-existing din being hatzah, being hatzah mishus l'shus, because this is also called mishus l'shus. That's the famous bir from Mishnah and Balamor, from Ranz, from Rambam. That's the famous bir adover in the relationship between the chiv of carrying down amish v'shir Rambam and the iser of hatzah. Just parenthetically, those who learn Maseches Gittin may remember that there's a din that if you give a get to a woman within Dalet Amos, so the get is chal. Famous Gemara, the 8th Perek of Gittin. So there's a big machlokes in Mishnayim. Is that a din deraisa? Is that a din derabanan? Because the Gemara says the first Perek of Metziah that the whole din of Dalet Amos was only a Tachanas Chachamim. It's not really kind of mid deraisa. So how is the get going to be nikta the husband at Torah? So some Yisham throw their hands up and say, you're right, afkinu, and different levels of afkinu, different kinds of afkinu, either they're mafkia the kedushin, or they're mafkia the mokal for the get. Different, there are abundance in hefkabez and hefkabez, and maisilach, and there are abundance, a whole story, ochad gadja. But there is a famous sheet, who remembers who it was, famous sheet of Hashem that says, no, that's for gittin, takad al-amas works in a Torah. And remember? Who's doing gittin? Who's doing gittin this year? Taisus Rid? No? No? Remember Taisus Rid? What?
You
didn't see it.
It
exists. Okay. So there's a Taisus Rid that says, no, forget that it works in a Torah, because that's called the Nasim B'yadah. That's, you put it into her area. So even though it's not good enough to be Kaina, but it's still good enough to be Zaychon. There's a throwback to something we spoke about earlier this summer. Did we talk about this? Forget that you don't really need Kinyanim. You just need Nasidah Liyadah, Ktaisim, Simon Reish, right? Rings a bell, right? So comes to those Rid and says that forget that a Vad that works. How do you know Vishtate? How do you know Vada works? Where is this Halacha Moshe Mizinai? So it could be, this is the Halacha Moshe, it's the same one. That according to the Balabor's revamping of the Halacha Moshe Mizinai, that it wasn't Stam Adin, the Yechai of Skil for carrying Da'al Amos and Shabbos, but rather the Chiddush of the Torah was this notion that Da'al Amos, Hein Meshusai, that was Halacha Moshe Mizinai, and that Halacha Moshe Mizinai impacts other areas of Halacha. It has implications for Hilcha Shabbos, it has implications for Chos Gittin, it may have implications for other areas of Halacha as well. Anytime we find the idea that Da'al Amos, so that's all nichol on this halacha Moshe Sinai. What? Oh, very good. Oh, so why wouldn't kidding down Amos work with the Raisa? Because it could be that the halacha Moshe Sinai is not that it's a kinyan. The halacha Moshe Sinai is that it's considered to be. But that's the question: is that enough of a rishus for the purposes of kinyanim in a rishus harabim? So maybe that's not good enough. So maybe that's not considered to be your chotzer. Maybe it's considered to be your mokom, but for kinyanim, it's not considered to be your chotzer because other people could walk in technically also.
So
again, so you have to say that the standards are different. That's called the seed of the others. So we have to fine tune that Taisus Rid. Probably most of Rishonim didn't buy into that Taisus Rid, but the Taisus Rid, the remnants of that Taisus Rid, the only mokka that we have for this Taisus Rid said, Hilchos Gemirah LeBagittin. Vosvan Gittin, we don't find any mokka for this Lachos Rid Bagittin. So it has to be, this is related to this Lachos Rid Shabbos.
According to Chaim, how does he view the hate before it leaves the Dal Amos? I mean, it's almost the same exact idea as what's up. I mean, once it's in the Dal Amos, it's
no, so Reb Chaim is arguing that the whole Da'at Amos is part of the Gufa Isser. That's Reb Chaim's breakthrough in the sugya. That the whole Da'at Amos is part of the Gufa Isser. But I'm not even up to Reb Chaim yet. I'm trying to potentially raise a question against Reb Chaim, but I had to give you this whole introduction first. It's a fascinating thing, you know, for thousands of years. So people knew there was this halacha Moshe Mishinai of Da'at Amos Shus Rabim. And for the last 1,000 years or so, some people knew there's the Taisus Rid. And for the last 150 years or so, some people connected this to, Reb Chaim connected the whole pictures and Baal Moaz. So this has already been in the Olam HaTorah for quite some time, this idea. And everyone knows Da'at Amos Shalom, Zav Rishuso, etc. But sometimes it takes time for the natural world to catch up to the Torah world. So we know that the Zohar Kodesh says that Iskacho B'Araisa Bori Alma, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and he patterned the physical world based on the Klali HaTorah. So sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we see it very clearly and sometimes it's harder to see. So here it took almost 6,000 years for the world to realize that Da'al Amash Alodim Zel Rosh Hussein, that the Yaduah, that the Shir of today was considered to be a person's makom vis-a-vis coronavirus is 6 feet. Vishtate, Halach Bar Sinai, 6 feet. Who made up the Shir 6 feet? So the Teretz is that, I mean, not really, but the Teretz of 6 feet is, so at least according to the Shir of Chaim Noah, so 6 feet happens to be Da'al Amas. It's Machlek Suchaim Noah, the Chazanish. So the Chazanish would say it's closer to 8 feet, which there was even some Svaras out there who were trying to be pushed for a Chumr of 8 feet. So that Machlek is between Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazanish as to whether Mekayim Shalom 6 feet or 8 feet, so that's the Bureau Dov here as well. So even the virus behaves to some degree. Even the virus follows the Klali HaTorah. He's talking about Reis of Bari Alma. So this idea that Rishusa Shalom Zel, Da'al Amos Shalom Zel Rishusa. But getting back to the more serious note. So back to that story. So for years and years and years, this Reb Chaim in a Shtikl Torah about Da'al Amos Rishusa Rabim, differentiating between that and Hotzah, vis-a-vis Kim Rabin, has always been irking me. Why? Because according to all the Rishayim, the Rabbim included, the Balmor, the Chedishu Ran, Shabbos, and the Rabbim included, that the din of Avaras Da'anabashis Rabbim is basically just the same thing as Hotzom Mishus Lashus. It's Hainu Hach, it's Mamish identical. So how would the worker of Chaim tell you that vis-a-vis Da'anabashis Mishus Rabbim, so then there's this window and there's this special razzle-dazzle din of Rabbi Abin, of Zorak Chetz, of Akira Tzerech HaNocha, and it's going to pass the Kibbutz Raminei, or vis-a-vis Hotzom Mishus Lashus, of Mishus Rabbim to Mishus Yochid, the Gemara of Akav Nevayim, all bets are off. Rabbi Abin doesn't apply. How in the world, if the Rishonim are right, that Avaras Da'anabashis Rabbim and Hotzom Mishus Lashus are identical, that Hainu Hach, they're the same thing, so how could Reb Chaim draw this line of demarcation, draw this distinction, and say that no, Da'anabashis Mishus Rabbim and Hotzom Mishus Lashus work so radically different from one another that one of them carries with it the din of Kimud Raminei and the other one doesn't? So for years this was bothering me, until about 20 minutes ago. So, I'm not so convinced that's a kasha. I'm not so convinced that's really a problem. That the Rishonim are right, and Reb Chaim could also be right. That means the Rishonim are right that if you want to know, is the din of Avaras Da'anabashis Rabbim a din b'frei atzmai? Is it a brand new parsha? It's something that's a 40th malacha? So the Rishonim are saying it can't be, because then how can he be chayav skila for it? There's no pasuk for it. So of course it's part of Hotzah Mishus Lashus. But just because it's part of Hotzah Mishus Lashus, at the end of the day, there's a different way to be magdir the journey of the item. The Chayfetz, as it's traveling, is traveling in a different manner vis-a-vis Da'anabashis Rabbim, in contrast to Hotzah Mishus Lashus. Only when it's traveling, Me'avaris Da'anabashis Rabbim, since the din of Da'anabas is so critical, so it's Kach Nimtzel Meshir Meinu, that the Da'anabas is so important, and if you throw something three Amas, you're talking about Chayab. So Zaman, from there, you see from here that the journey is a critical component of the very Hagdoras Meshus Lashos. So only Ba'zen Ne'amar Rabbi Abin Zin of Zorachais with Da'anabashis Rabbim. But when it comes to carrying and throwing something from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, even though it's the same Isser, it's the same name in the Malach, it's the same 39th Malach as Avaras Da'anabashis, but it doesn't matter. Just because it's the same Isser vis-a-vis Skila, doesn't mean that the journey is the same. The journey is different. At the end of the day, nobody can give any credibility to that journey, because it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether it's just a Yachar or just Ram, or an inch away from each other, or 40 miles away from each other. So you see clear from the facts on the ground that the journey is not important. The journey is not critical. So yes, it's true. Of course, Dal Da'amas Mishus Rabbim is a part and parcel of Malachas Hatzah. I can't separate between the two. But just because I can't separate between the two doesn't mean that I'm treating the journey as the same. And therefore, the journey of that Chetz can exempt the Kriyas HaShirayim vis-a-vis Da'anabashis Mishus Rabbim. But the journey of that Chetz, or the journey of that behemoth being tossed over the fence, cannot exempt you from Kimlev Draminei. So I don't think it's necessarily a steer of Minei.
Yeah. Now, it's not from your hand to five
hours.
It's from the fourth
Amai on. So that's a very, very tricky thing. That's a very tricky thing. That, you know, the whole Reb Chaim thing about Da'an Amishal Adam Zel Roshuso, and therefore when I carry something out of it, I'm going, because the whole thing is a funny mushel, because as I'm walking with the item, so my Da'an Amishal are changing. So I didn't really carry it from my Da'an Amishal. If I throw something, so then I understand the mushel a little bit more.
It's really from the last second.
That's the real Hotzah Mishus Lashus. No, but it's not true, because let's say
it doesn't need to go one amas.
No, but it's not true. Let's say there's an item that's munach 3.5 amas away from me.
No, I'm saying.
Let's say it's sitting on the floor 3.5 amas away from me. Okay, and I blow it and I get it to cross the floor. The dalam. Yeah, but you're not chayev. It's a joke. Avadi not chayev. Avadi not chayev. So the teretz is that this is like a little of a losh and mushel. This idea of a motzi mishus lashus. It's not an identity. It's not an exact science of motzi mishus lashus. Right? I hear you. It's putting the balamor into more question. But you have to say something without the balamor. That the Hotzah Mishuso is the entire picture of the going down Amos, transferring an item from where you are to Chutz L'Dal Amos, where from where you used to be, that's the Hotzah Mishus Lashus. So you have to say something like that. Yeah. Yeah, so you want to say this Reb Chaim is definitely in sync with the Reb Chaim and Hilchos Machos Asuras, the Gabi Orlus Chutzlaretz, right? That's what you're referring to? Right, not the Rambam Shita. The Rambam happens to hold by Orlus Chutzlaretz that it's Taka Aloch Moshesini HaMechadeshes, not Mefereshes. So with the other Rishayim who would Taka say Yechayim Malkus, would say there's Revoy Chutzlaretz, would be perfectly in sync with this, right? 100%. We're told 100%. Right? 100%. Okay, good. All right, Rabbi Sai, that was the Shirayim. The Shirayim, we have 20 minutes left. And I want to say Chumash today also. What's going to happen? Okay, let's start the next sugya a little bit. At least get a little bit of haschal. Okay. So Rabbi Sai, going back to the Bab Machteres, the Shibra Sachovis. So the Mishnah said, Bab Machteres, Shibra Sachovis is going to be potless, covered by Kibbutz Ramine. So the Gemara presented a potential machloikis between Rav and maybe Rav, and I'm sure Rav actually held. What would the din be by Notla Sachovis, Vlo Shibra? That the Chovis is still intact. Would you say Kibbutz Ramine or not? So Rav couldn't believe it. Rav thought that was a big joke to say Kibbutz Ramine on that. Come on. The Chavis is still around. That's not a Tashlum, that's a Shava. Again, most of the Rishonim thought that that was a Din Deraisa, that was a Chilik Deraisa, except for the Balamor. But Rav quite possibly held that even that's covered by Kibbutz Ramine. And Ma'is Yishrak HaChoya, where it tells the story, Rav Yigvim Lay Dichri B'machtarta, that Rav had the bad luck of having his goat stolen in a Machteres, and the Ganovim came forward, and they returned the goats to Rava. The like of Linu, Rava didn't want to accept those goats back. Why? Hove enough made the Rav. Because according to Rav's understanding, that would have been covered by Kimla Bidramine, and the Ganava would not have been mechuyev to return the goats, even though Rava did not think that was the chlal correct. But the Heliga Rav, Rava said, I don't want any part of any mumminess that's not coming to me, even if there's only a das yachid, I don't even think it's correct. If Rav thinks that I'm not entitled to that money, I don't want to take that money. Honesty, above and beyond the call of duty. Asamidis Chasidus, he didn't want to take that money, hove enough in Pupid Rav. He didn't want to take the goats back, even though he was clearly, if he didn't, Lishitoso, entitled to those goats back. So all the Rishonim are bothered with the problem, and the problem begins with the Tosfos on Ardaf, as to, can we even begin to contemplate or understand what Rava meant with that statement? Why Rava was so opposed to accepting those goats, even Zolzayin, that Rav was right? Why in the world was Rava so opposed to accepting those goats? So in order to understand this Midas Chasidus, and to understand the problem that Rishonim had with this Midas Chasidus, we have to pose a very, very basic question, which goes to the heart and soul of Kibbutz Ramine. We say that Kibbutz Ramine is Potter, right? 100% Potter, no shy about it. What does that mean, Potter? We know, what has this in Baba Kama, the sixth parak, another place in Baba Kama, other place in Shas. There's a whole category of halacha called Chayev Lotzeis Yedei Shamayim. There are a whole series of different areas in halacha that, technically speaking, you're Potter, whether it's Grumma ben Ezekiel is Potter, whether other examples that are Potter, well, it might see a Potter, and Beis Din can't touch you. But sometimes Allah says, Chayav Lotzeis Yedei Shamayim. You're still supposed to, if you want to know honestly what he's supposed to do, ask the rabbi says, listen, Reuven, pay the money, because in Yedei Shamayim you're going to be held responsible. So there is such a concept in Allah of Potter B'Diniyad V'Chayav Yedei Shamayim. So the question becomes, how do we treat Kibbutz Ramine? What's trying Kibbutz Ramine? Does Kibbutz Ramine mean that I'm Potter Legamre, as if it didn't happen, and therefore I don't have to pay you at all, even Yedei Shamayim, I don't have to pay you? Or no, Kibbutz Ramine is a Ptur and Beis Din. But in terms of Tachlis, bottom line, it says to Shemayim, I am Chayef to pay you. So depending on what one thinks about the answer to that question is going to impact on this sugya about Rava's refusal to take back these Izim. But in order to understand how this is going to impact on Rava, we have to ask ourselves a question, Tachlis, what is the Din? What is the Allah of Kibbutz Ramine? Is that a Ptur Legamre, even Din Shemayim, or is that only a Ptur in Beis and Shalmata? So much of this discussion revolves around two Gemaras. One appears in Bava Metzia, in the seventh parak. One appears in Bava Kama, happens to also be in the seventh parak. And both of the Gemaras invoke a very, very bizarre, startling illustration. Chazal depict the strangest of strangest cases to drive home some kind of a halachic concept, both in Bava Kama and Bava Metzia. And of course, that concept, the illustration Chazal uses, the famous phrase of Rava, the Rava Estanas or Torah Filo Ba'alimai. So we have to understand what in the world that means, and what in the world is the context of that, and what in the world is flying, what is going on, to understand this notion of being Chayav Din Shemayim or not. So the sugya again, we're just going to barely scratch the surface. In an attempt to read, to learn the sugya in Bava Metzia. But the Bava Metzia is discussing a subcategory of Kamid Ramine. It's not what we would normally call Kamid Ramine, because it's not even a Chi of Misa, it's actually a Chi of Malchus. But those who learned the third path of Ksubis are well aware of the fact that there is almost like a cousin of Kamid Ramine called Ein Eloike Mishalem, which may not be identical, may have certain similarities to, may or may not be identical. But in the Sugya of Ein Eloike Mishalem, so the Gemara quotes the discussion, the seventh path of Bava Metzia, about as follows. A person rents out a cow. Reuven rents a cow from Shimon, and he rents out the cow for the purposes of working with the cow. He's kind of threshing with the cow, and Reuven doesn't do too much. He's chaysim esapara. He muzzles the cow. So that's a huge problem. Two flags down on the play. Number one, he's chayav malchus l'sachsim shabedisho, and number two, he's chayav mammon as well. Why? Because when he rented the cow, it was understood that he's going to provide the cow with his basic needs. And the basic need of the cow is eating. Now, Reuven cannot say, what do you mean? I'm not going to feed the cow. I'll work with the cow all day, and then I'll bring the cow back to you, and you'll feed it. No. It's Muvan Mi'elov. Of course, Reuven has to feed the cow, because the Torah says, L'sachs v'shabedishai. So, Vaad and Avadi has a chivad in imam, and it's a support to feed this cow. B'shas m'shas avayid, b'shas malocha. So by Reuven muzzling the cow, he's really doing two things wrong. That number one, he is violating a law in the Torah L'sachs v'shabedisho. He is also reneging on his contract. He's reneging on this chiras. The same way that when he rented out the cow, so he was mechayiv himself to pay. He's gonna leasing out the car. He's rented the car for the day, so he has to pay for the cow itself. He has to also provide for the mezainis of the cow. That's all part of the rental contract. It's like Moshe Lodov Adamir. You rent the car for the day, so you're paying X amount of money to rent the car, and you better put gas into that car. And if you don't, so they're gonna, you go try to return and rent the car without putting gas back in the car. They charge you six times the amount. That's part of the rental. So it's stated in the rental contracts. So you have to provide for the needs of the car as well. So the Gemara raises a red flag on that. When the Braisa says that Echais v'sapara v'dashba harez a leke mishalim, the Gemara says, what do you mean leke mishalim? Sachayin a leke mishalim, sachkim leb dramine, how could it be chayim malchus and chayim mammon at the same time? So the Gemara answers with this riddle of riddles. The Gemara says, no, that's okay, it's no problem. It could be chayiv. You know why? We have no qualm saying harez a leke mishalim. You know why? Because esen asatara fila bolimai. So once you figure out what in the world that line Esenas Atara Afilu Ba'alima means, then you can figure out what in the world the application is to raise a look at Mishalim, and then the sugya will begin. So hopefully we're going to save till next week to try to begin the intricacies of that statement of Esenas Atara to understand how it impacts on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, how it impacts the Gemara Bava Kam, and ultimately how it impacts back in Esenas. So we'll do a little bit of Divrei Hatzairus, a little Chumash.